The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with T-minus 2 days and counting. Do the Celtics have the Steph stopper? And could he be the difference in the finals? Plus, is it Tatum's turn for the title? Jason has been chasing. Would a ring be the thing that puts him at the very top of the basketball world? And then we're keeping it 100. It's that many days till kick. You've got questions. The good news is we've got all the answers. It's time to get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday. Welcome to the summertime and delighted to have you with us. Get up on ESPN. It's good to be back. It's good to have Zach Lowe in the house. Graziano's here. Amari's holding down the paint. And Dominique Foxworth has gotten up with us early this morning. Oh, and Big Perk. Wait a minute. Amari's going to have to go out on the wing because Big Perk is going to be down in the painted area. We're counting it down to the finals and a whole lot more. But we begin with the two best words in sports. Game 7 from the Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Hurricanes and Rangers. And here we go. Pick it up early in the first, and the Rangers getting the first chance. It's Alexis Lafreniere. Going to be playmaking. He's going to find a streaking Adam Fox, and Fox with the wrister, and wrister finds the goal. Rangers take the early 1-0 lead, and they're feeling it. Then we're later in the period. Rangers back on a power play. It's Zibanejad with a shot. It's Chris Kreider. We'll take another look at the concentration from Kreider in front of the net, and he pokes it home. Rangers a 2-0 lead. Now we're late in the second. Same score. Hurricanes goalie Antti Raanta sprawling to make a save, but take a closer look. He's down, and he's in a lot of pain. He goes down awkwardly. He would leave with a lower body injury, a devastating loss for the Hurricanes, and the Rangers would take full advantage. Early in the third, it's 3-0 now, and it's Kreider. Look at the speed. Look at him go to the backhand side. He's the fourth Rangers player to score multiple goals in a game 7. And the Rangers go on to win it by a 6-2 final. They advance to take on the Lightning in the Eastern Conference Final, which begins tomorrow on ESPN. Rangers, the fourth team ever to win multiple best of 7 series in a year after trailing by multiple games. The 5 straight wins and elimination games ties the franchise longest streak. They did that back in 2014. They made the Stanley Cup final that year. Let's see where this one finishes. Now to the NBA Finals, which get underway in 2 nights. The Celtics will be looking for their 18th championship after going on a revenge tour through the playoffs. They beat the Nets, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Heat, all teams that eliminated them in the past 3 postseasons. The Warriors on the other side, back in the finals for the 6th time in the last 8 years. Klay Thompson himself has made it to 6 straight finals in seasons that he has played. And Golden State is the favorite. One of the key factors for Boston, whether or not they can slow down Steph Curry, who will likely be defended by the Defensive Player of the Year, Marcus Smart. Here's Steve Kerr on that matchup.
He's got an incredible feel for the game at that end. He's like the guard version of Draymond. He's quick enough to chase point guards around, big enough to guard wings. So he can literally guard 1 through 5 in the modern game.
Yeah, well, look, Smart has held Curry to just 29% from the floor as the closest defender in his career. That ranks 4th out of 90 qualified defenders against Steph dating back to the 2013-14 season, according to our advanced stats at Second Spectrum. So let's bring the basketball crew out here and let's talk about it. And Big Perk, I'm going to start with you. When we look at Smart's defense and Steph's all-time great offense, how do you see the edge?
You know what? I see it going Marcus Smart way, Greeny. I think Marcus Smart is going to be the biggest X factor in this series for the simple fact that in the Steve Kerr era, he has been the most effective person as far as guarding Steph Curry. Look, we all know that Steph loves to chew on that mouthpiece and let it hang off the side of his mouth. He's going to have to put that bad boy in for the simple fact that Marcus Smart loves to get physical. He loves to touch him up. He frustrates him a lot, and he's a smart player. That's why he's the Defensive Player of the Year. So I'm looking at Marcus Smart He's not going to be switching. He's going to be up in the Steph Curry, getting up over screens, so Steve Kerr don't have to worry about him switching 1 through 5 because he's going to be tied to Steph Curry Kip all series long.
Amari, could Smart be the Steph stopper in the NBA Finals?
I don't think so. I think only because Steph Curry is just a remarkable player. Like, he's going to learn how to get his shot off in the midst of Marcus Smart guarding him. And plus, the Celtics is going to have to switch a lot. You know, it's going to be a lot of screens that the Warriors are going to set.
He just said they're not going to switch.
Yeah, they're for sure going to have to, because he's going to be moving off the screens too much. He's going to be on the move the entire game. And the thing about Steph Curry is, this guy gets into the zone more times than I've ever seen. I have never seen a player that gets into this, like, zone that most great players get to. And you don't see that often. He scores, you know, he I think since 96, 97, he has the most 20-point quarters in the NBA. He's a guy that gets his shot off, you know, with a quick release. He's going to be hard to guard. It's going to be tough for Smart to guard him.
Zach, I'll get to you in a second, but Big Perk has a skeptical look on his face, and I'm buying.
Of course he does.
Go, Big Perk.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Steph has been tough to guard except when he gets to the finals. If you go and look at his finals resume and his shooting percentage and things to that nature, it's not just through the roof. And look, Amari, this is why I say it's not going to be a lot of switching. If you watch how Marcus Smart guards him, he knows the action that is coming. So sometimes you may see him in the top block. Sometimes you see him face the 9. All those things. And one thing we know about Marcus Smart, he is one of the best in the league at getting up over screens and getting through pin down actions. So as much as Steph Curry moves, that pit bull on the other side is a problem. Look, let me tell you something. If you see Marcus Smart in a fight with a bear, you know what you got to do, right? You got to pour the honey on him. Pour the honey on him. He want more bears. He want all the smoke. Pour the honey on him.
Let me get Zach Lowe in here. It does feel in some ways like this is the matchup that could define the finals, yes?
I'm still reeling from the bear.
Yeah, me too.
Honey metaphor.
Yeah, me too.
Of all the answers in the league for Steph Curry, Marcus Smart might be the best, but I'm more with Amari here. Look, the thing about Steph Curry is there is no player in the league who plays like him. So he'll run a pick and roll, and then he'll become a runner. Then he'll become a screener. Then he'll run another pick and roll. It doesn't take just one guy to defend Steph Curry. It takes everyone, and you've got to be good at every aspect of defense. So whether they like it or not, they are going to have to switch. They are going to have to mix it up. It's not just going to be Marcus Smart, and he's one of the great problem solvers in the history of the league.
That said, Zach, there may not be a team that plays better team defense, that is more connected on that end of the floor, and at least to this point in the postseason and through the regular season, has been a better team defensively than the Celtics. Not just Marcus Smart.
No, this is the revenge of the defenses. These are the two best defensive teams in the NBA, and Boston is well equipped. Boston has always played the Warriors well, dating back to the beginning of the Steve Kerr era. Boston has played them maybe better than any other team in the league. Marcus Smart is part of that. Their size is part of that, and this is the best defensive team the Celtics have had since they won the title with KG in 2008.
And Perk. And the big fella anchoring the backside of it. And look, they're a physical group, and they know how to muck it up against teams. It really is the perfect combination, or the perfect battle of the immovable force and the whatever that it goes against. I always get that wrong. Anyway, let's go to something else in this series, and that is Jason Tatum. So three times a charm for the terrific Tatum, right, as he is finally headed to his first NBA Finals after being named the most valuable player of the East Final. That was the Larry Bird Trophy. Tatum's had a fabulous run during this postseason. He's just the sixth player in NBA history to average 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists entering the finals before the age of 25. The last to do it was LeBron James in 2007. Three of the previous 5 players you see on your screen went on to win the title that year. LeBron, of course, was with that overmatched group in Cleveland that went up against San Antonio. But, you know, as you watch this team, and this time, Zach, I'll start with you. Tatum is a brilliant young player. Of that, there is no question. But the Celtics were 29th in the league this year, over the regular season, in close games. And for lack of a better way of putting it, they tried as hard as they could to give away Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Will they need Tatum to be even better than he was in this previous series late in games against Golden State if they're going to win?
I think for the most part. Now, remember, our memories are short. Their biggest win of the playoffs before Game 7 was Game 6 in Milwaukee, down 3-2, their season on the line. And Jason Tatum looked pretty damn good in the clutch in that game. And part of the reason the Celtics were bad in crunch time in the regular season is once they turned their season around, they didn't play any crunch time. They just blew everybody out. They had no crunch time minutes. But, yes, the Celtics' turnover issues against Miami and in general in the playoffs are worrisome against a team that forces a ton of turnovers. And, Greeny, to your point, if they had lost that Game 7, I'm not sure I can think of what would have been a worse loss in the history of basketball than that. That was a confluence of just mind-boggling mistakes and awfulness, the likes of which at that point in the playoffs, like, I can't remember a game like that.
Yeah, look, I mean, they beat the Nets in four straight games, and technically all four of those games counted as late and close, even though they didn't all feel that way, but they met the criteria. So they were 4-0 in those.
And he had a buzzer beater in Game 1.
In Game 1. That was the one that obviously did count. But my point is, they were 1-4 in the playoffs in close games leading into Game 7. And they just barely hung on and won that one by the skin of their teeth. What are you seeing in these late close situations? What does Jason Tatum have to do, Amari?
Well, you know what? I think it's important, and I think Tatum will, you know, do a better job going into the series. But I think it's important for him to understand, like, manage the game, right? The game is going to be made of runs. There's going to be ups and downs, you know. So if you're able to somewhat dim those runs by scoring when you need to, and understanding the clock, understanding your possessions, understanding your timeouts, like, if you could manage the game, and then in the fourth quarter, be able to assert yourself down the stretch to where you're now being able, okay, I saw how the game is played. I see how the team is going to guard me. Now in the fourth quarter, I know what I need to do to score and to get us over the hump. And I think that's important for Jason Tatum.
It's a big perk. I mean, you played on those Celtic championship teams. And when you needed a big bucket, Ray Allen was there to get it. Paul Pierce was there to get it. You went to Oklahoma City, big games. Kevin Durant there to get big buckets. Is Jason Tatum that guy right now for the Celtics late in close games against Golden State? Do you count on him to get that basket?
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about him being 6'10", because Jason Tatum is 6'10". When you look at him being 6'10", being able to create his shot, being able to attack the basket, getting to the free throw line, absolutely. But, Green, let me say something real quick. Mm-hmm. My blood pressure is sky high this morning on this show.
Uh-oh.
For the simple fact that we're sitting up here talking about late game situations with a team that's actually in the finals. And look, everybody want to harp on what is happening on the offensive end and things to that nature. Let's talk about why they're in the finals and why those late game situations don't matter. For the simple fact that they were the number one team getting back in transition. So the things that they lack on the offensive end, for as their turnovers and late game situations, they make up for it on the defensive end because they get stops. I cannot harp enough that offense win you games, but when it comes down to winning championships, you got to get stops. Defense win you championships. Let's talk about defense. That's what the Celtics are, the best defensive team that is still in this postseason.
All that said, they're still thanking the basketball guys that Jimmy Butler shot rimmed out.
That's exactly right. I mean, they could – that Perk, I hear what you're saying. You're right. Congratulations to them. They were the best team in the East. They deserve to be in the NBA Finals. But had they not made it here, those late-game situations would be the reason they aren't here. No one's questioning their defense. It's as good a defense as we've seen in the NBA in quite some time, and it is the reason that they're now four games away from playing or winning an NBA championship. But close games against Golden State, I feel good about the Warriors finding a place to get a shot, and I worry about the Celtics. We had all morning to talk about it. Someone get a blood pressure cuff for a big Perk down there. We'll have plenty more to get him upset as the morning continues. In the meantime, does Steph Curry need another championship and a Finals MVP to finally silence any remaining critics and solidify his legacy? Would it in fact close the gap with some of the other all-time greats we're talking about? It plus a sneaky big story, and from this morning, that could change everything in the NFC. Is one of the biggest stars in the sport about to walk away? You'll hear who as we continue in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more.
Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back on Get Up with a little eye candy here. I got two great plays for you here. Let's start with you, Graziano. This is Jesus Sanchez of the Marlins. This is a 496-foot home run. What do you think?
I mean, it still counts for one run, right? 496, 404, whatever. But, boy, yeah, he turned on that one.
That's the longest home run of the baseball season so far at Coors Field. Meanwhile, Dominique, is that more impressive or is this? I want you to see Rangers center fielder Eli White robbing a home run from G-Man Choi. Take a look at this play right here.
Oh, you got to go with the catch. I mean, I love the deep home run. It was fun, but it looks like the rest of the home runs just a little deeper. You rarely see these type of snags taking them over off the fence and taking points off the board. Got to go with the catch.
Graziano, you were a baseball you covered baseball for a long time. Which of those is the more impressive play?
I agree with Dominique, even though, you know, he's biased toward defense. As we know, but this is definitely,
More.
How about the ground he covers just to get there? That was the thing. The highlight starts, and he's basically right behind second base. So, that, that's a heck of a play.
A spectacular play from the world of baseball. Meanwhile, we turn our attention to the world of football because we are what? Oh, you keep moving on me. We're 100 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season, so we're going to do a feature we call Let's Keep It 100. And let's bring Lewis Riddick in on the conversation here. Lewis, you're up first. What is it, something that we're 100 days away from seeing?
I think we're 100 days away from seeing the Indianapolis Colts be considered a legit Super Bowl contender in the AFC. Look, Greeny, I think that their GM, Chris Ballard, has done a good job as addressing their needs as they possibly could this offseason. Matt Ryan needs to be a top 10, top 12 quarterback. If he can do that with Jonathan Taylor and with the improvements they have on the defensive side, expect the Colts to be playing on the last weekend of the playoff season.
Hey, Graziano, how about you?
I think Trey Lance will lead the 49ers to the playoffs in his first year as their starter. This is one of the more interesting stories to watch, I think, as the season opens, because it sounds like the Niners are planning to still trade Jimmy Garoppolo if they can and get Lance ready to be their starter. Remember, Kyle Shanahan moved up in the draft to draft this guy because he thought he could do things other quarterbacks can't. See how many of those he's ready to do right out of the gate.
I like that one, too. Dominique, you're next.
I think Tua becomes the quarterback that the Dolphins hoped he was when they drafted him. They've addressed the offensive line to some degree. They still have all those ballers on defense. And to be honest with you, Tyreek Hill is the difference. Adding Tyreek Hill to any team makes your job a lot easier as quarterback, makes the reads easier, makes the short passes into touchdowns. So I think Tua becomes the quarterback, not with passes like that, but he becomes the quarterback that they want him to be in Miami.
Fair. I was going to live in that one for a minute.
Example.
But then we have another big question again here as we are 100 days away from kick, and that is whether or not Aaron Donald is going to return for another season after the Rams won the Super Bowl last year. I want you to hear Donald talking on the I Am Athlete podcast addressing his future. Listen.
I'm happy. I'm fine. I don't need to play. The thing is, I don't need to play football to be fine. Like, I'm fine. Like, I was blessed to play this game. To make the money I made, the accomplishments I made in 8 years is like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm complete. I'm like, if I can win another one, that's great. But if not, I'm at peace.
Wasn't that fascinating? We just saw him the other night. He was at Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. He looked unbelievably happy and relaxed. And Graziano, is this something we should be paying close attention to, that Aaron Donald could just decide to walk away?
I think it's worth paying attention to. I don't think it's a completely hollow threat. But what's going on with Aaron Donald and the Rams is they're discussing a new contract. He's got 3 years left on his contract. But when he signed it 4 years ago, he was the highest paid defensive player in the league. Now he's about the sixth or seventh if you just go by average salary. He's the best defensive player in the league, so obviously he thinks he should be making the most. And I think if the Rams can't get to that number, TJ Watt's at like 28, 29 million a year. I think the Rams can't get past that. Then, you know, he thinks about this. Look, he talked about how he always wanted to play 8 years. He's played 8 years. He's won a Super Bowl. If Aaron Donald retired tomorrow, what is his Hall of Fame career missing? Literally nothing. So I don't think it's a completely empty threat, but I do think the more likely outcome is that they get to a contract, him and the Rams on an extension.
But it is something fascinating to consider because, Lewis, I have to assume that that would completely upend. That would have the impact on them that a quarterback retiring would have on most teams, right? Like, there are very few players who have the impact that a quarterback does. Is Donald that significant?
Absolutely. Look, we haven't talked about the impact that a defensive player has had on his team the way we talk about Aaron Donald, maybe in forever, at least not in the time that I've been at ESPN since 2013. Yeah. We've never talked about it that way, and deservedly so. Now, look, I'm one of those people who have always said, you know, contracts are supposed to be about projected future performance and not what you've done in the past. But here in this case, look, I think many people would say, well, this would be about what he's done in the past. Well, no, you know, look at Aaron Donald. Just look at his body. You saw he looked greeny when he came in that arena at the basketball game. You think going forward, he wouldn't still give you the performance that would really be worthy of paying him over $30 million per year? And really, I think that that's what this is about at this point in time. I would not take his threats lightly. This is a very principled young man who understands exactly where he's at in life.
Yeah, we are in an era where a lot of players, Dominique, have retired from pro football sooner than we expected them to. When you make enough money that you have enough money, and as he clearly has, what do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he closed out the Super Bowl last year with his big plays. He closed out the NFC Championship. So I agree with Lewis. You don't want to pay guys on past performance. But if there is one guy who deserves it, it's Aaron Donald. And certainly he's going to keep going forward. You cannot take the best player, the best defensive player in all of football off of your team and expect to still be as highly rated as they expect to be. So if they plan on repeating or being competitive, they need to find a way to pay this man, because not only does he make plays for himself, but he makes plays for everybody around him. He's the best defensive player in football in the last decade plus, and probably more than that. So, yeah, they need to pay that man if they want to get back to the Super Bowl.
That's the video that we were just looking at there. He made the play that won, closed the NFC Championship game, and then the back-to-back plays that closed the Super Bowl. We're used to seeing those being game-winning touchdowns. But in the case of the Rams, they were game-winning stops by Aaron Donald.
He's the difference maker. You know, Sean McVay after the game said, in my head, I thought Aaron Donald was going to make a play, and he did. That's why you talk about affecting the game the way a quarterback does. He wants quarterback-level money, and he has earned it. So, look, I think this is an example of a player understanding his leverage, understanding his worth, and this, again, not an empty threat. Still don't think he ends up retiring, but I don't think it's 100%.
I want to come back to this, guys. Let's put a bookmark in this, because it could change a lot of things at the top of the NFC projections. We'll talk about it as we go. But up next, we're going back to the finals. He's already a three-time champion, but does Steph Curry need a fourth ring and a finals MVP to once and for all secure his legacy? We'll be talking about that. Plus, I looked on Twitter yesterday, and these two guys were trending, and they hadn't played in 36 days. The reason they're trending is why everyone is talking, and we will join the conversation next. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Right, we're back on Get Up, and of course the NBA Finals start on Thursday, and Steph Curry is looking for his fourth championship in a span of eight seasons, while also trying to obtain the elusive Finals MVP award, perhaps the only thing missing from his ridiculously spectacular resume. He's already one of four players in history with multiple MVPs, multiple championships, and multiple scoring titles. Perhaps you've heard of the other three. They are Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain. So it's a complicated question, but an interesting one nonetheless. Big Perk, I'll start with you. What would another championship, and maybe I'll even throw onto it, finally winning a Finals MVP, the one missing ingredient, what would that do for Steph Curry's legacy?
It would do everything for it. Matter of fact, Greeny, it would cement him for as being a top 10 greatest player of all time. That's the only thing that Steph Curry is missing. Think about it. Right after the departure, a couple years later, after Kevin Durant left, he goes back to the finals and finish it off against this Boston Celtic defense and win a Finals MVP. No one is going to be able to deny him for being the top 10 greatest player of all time. So when I look at this light-skinned, green-eyed assassin, that's all he's missing. And he will shut a lot of critics up, including myself, who has been very critical of Steph Curry because of these final moments that he has had in the past.
Yeah, again, a reminder that Andre Iguodala won the Finals MVP the first year that the Warriors got there, and then Kevin Durant won the seasons that he was there. So how about it, Amari, from a legacy standpoint? What's at stake for Steph these next 2 weeks?
Well, I think most importantly, if he won a championship, you know, that puts him in a category of top 10 of all time. Mm-hmm. If he wins Finals MVP, then that adds to that. But he's already one of the greatest point guards that the game has ever seen. You know, he's already somewhat, you know, solidified his status as far as being one of the greats. But I do think if he does win a championship and he does get a Finals MVP, that will also put him a step higher than where he is now.
There's a nuance in this conversation, Zach, and you're one of the people I love doing these kinds of talks with on radio shows and things like that, podcasts, because it's really where this conversation belongs more than anything else, because he occupies a unique place in the game's history, right? There's some things very specific about Steph's greatness, but then once you try to apply it into, well, where does he belong compared to this person and that person, it becomes complicated because he almost does things differently than any of the other all-time greats ever.
Well, I'll give you an example. If he plays the next four seasons like relatively healthy, he's going to join the 25,000 point, 6,000 assist club that is currently inhabited by LeBron, Oscar Robertson, Kobe Bryant, Jerry West, John Havlicek. That's it. Mm. But to your point, 6,000 assists is underselling his playmaking because he does it in a different way than anybody else. He gets things that are basically assists when he never touches the ball. They're not hockey assists. It's just he runs around and people get open because five guys chase him. Frankly, this whole discussion, I really hate it, because whether you have him 10th, 9th, 12th, 13th, 14th, it doesn't matter. All these players are amazing. And by the way, we sit here and we throw around top 10 players of all time. We should all be mandated to list who the top 10 are all time now and who you're bumping out if you're putting Steph into it. And I wish we would run the stats from Steph Curry's finals career again. We had them on there before.
Yeah.
It was like 26-6-6. This idea that he's like underperformed in the finals is one of the greatest myths in modern basketball history. He should have won Finals MVP already. He doesn't. I don't really care. He's awesome no matter if he's 14, 13, 12. I don't really care.
Could anything be more amusing than Zach ranting while the big fella is fanning himself? Go ahead, Big Perk.
Hey, G, you know why I'm fanning myself? Let me tell you something. At First Street Baptist Church, when the preacher started preaching that good gospel and they get hot in there because everybody get to standing up and hooping and hollering, you get the fan and the old lady next to you, or she get the fan and herself from passing out. Here's the thing, right? When you look at Steph Curry and we look at his resume, it's longer than this Memorial Day weekend that we just went through. We're talking about a guy that has changed the game of basketball forever. He has changed it forever. A generational talent, right? At 6'2", 6'3", making it okay to take shots that would have put you at the end of the bench last year. Before he came into the league, I tried to tell the great Stephen A. Smith yesterday, when it comes down to Steph Curry and the way that he changed the game, it's undeniable why he should be, he's going to be in the top 10 if he wins this finals MVP. And some may say that he may move up to the number one spot for as the all-time great point guard. And that's no disrespect to the great Magic Johnson, but to do what he has done at 6'2 and change the game, I don't see how one could argue this.
That's what I meant. You just said it better than I did, which is he occupies a unique place. Like, how do you compare him to Magic Johnson? They're so totally different. And the idea that he has completely revolutionized the game, changed the way the game is played, is true. And how do you factor that into your conversation about his greatness? But to go back to what you said, I can put very specific numbers to it. ESPN ranked the greatest players of all time. We had him 16th. Kevin Durant was 12th. He is behind Durant and LeBron as far as current players. Those were the three highest-rated current players. Would winning this championship move ahead of Durant? Would you put him on the all-time list ahead of Durant if he does what we're talking about in the next 2 weeks?
The very question, Greeny, makes me sick to my stomach because it's forcing me to put two of the all-time greatest players against each other and almost accidentally denigrate one, which I don't want to do. The answer is no. Kevin Durant still outranks Steph Curry.
Okay, well, so I'm glad you brought. Let's hold. I'm sorry. See, you've got this expressive face, Big Perk. I can never go on to something else because I look up and I see your face. Are you saying that you will put Steph Curry on the all-time list historically great players ahead of Kevin Durant if he wins the championship here without him?
Well, listen, Greeny, ESPN did their list, and I did my list, and he was already ahead of Kevin Durant. And we're not talking about, right, who's the better basketball player. Mm-hmm. When you start to talk about the top 10 greatest player of all time, it has something to do with your legacy, right? It has something to do also with your story. And the fact that he has been with the same franchise since he got drafted and how he has started from the ground up and got it out the mud and built a dynasty there and changed the game, I don't see how one can put Kevin Durant ahead of Steph Curry. Legacy plays a part. And if Zach Lowe sit up here right now on Get Up on national TV and sit up here and tell me that he would take Kevin Durant legacy over Steph Curry legacy, then me and Zach go have a problem.
Zach, do you have a problem?
Perk and I continuously have problems. It's not a new thing. Look, the proper answer to this question is who cares?
No, it's not.
They're both incredible. No, why do I have to care? Kevin Durant, I would take Kevin Durant because he's 7 feet tall. He can get a jump shot off against anybody. Before he tore his Achilles, he was on pace to be maybe the leading scorer in the history of the NBA, if not number two. If you're forcing me to pick, I'm picking that guy, the guy who can block shots and all that, over a 6'2 guy. But Perk is right. The storyline with Steph is irresistible. If you prefer that line of reasoning versus Durant leaving Oklahoma City, creating this unbeatable super team, earning the ire of fans as a result, that's fine. I don't care.
Well, then let me get you. I've spent 30 years, by the way, caring, and it's worked out okay for me.
No, it's great to care. You're asking about two all-time great players. They're both amazing.
Yes, and one of them is in the finals, and the other is not. And that's why yesterday, when I landed back from Florida and I opened my phone and I saw the names Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were trending, that to be sort of an interesting little note. I thought, oh, what happened here? 36 days after their season ended. Yeah. Now, Amari, again, you were on that, or you were a part of that team as an assistant coach with the Nets. The reason that they were trending is very simply that Kevin Durant left one of these teams and Kyrie Irving left the other, and that team got swept in the first round of the playoffs, and those two teams are playing each other for the championship. So, Amari, I will ask you, what does it mean? What should we take from the fact that those two teams, after these two superstars, historically great players, chose to leave, are now playing for the championship?
Well, I think with Katie and Kyrie, right, they both see what's happening. They both want to be where Boston is. They want to be where Golden State is,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for them not to be there, I'm sure that hurts. I'm sure they're looking at the situation. Well, if I would have stayed there, maybe I would be in the finals right now. And so it's a difficult situation to be in because, you know, obviously you want to be in the NBA finals. But for them, I think they're great talents, right? They know that if they continue to stay healthy and they play together, they can get there next year. But it's interesting to see that both their names trending because both their former teams are now in the finals.
You can't miss it. And Big Perk, you know, Stephen A., you just mentioned him. I work with him every night now on Countdown, and he repeatedly says Kevin Durant chose Kyrie Irving over Steph Curry. That is the reality of what happened here. And at least at this moment, how does that decision look?
it don't look good, Green. I mean, listen, you left a situation, okay, where you saw it was successful. You won two championships there, two finals MVP. It was already there, and you left it to, I get it, to go try something new. But sometimes the grass ain't always green on the other side. And so, look, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, we both know, are very outspoken. They're very outspoken on social media, and they will come on and they will tell the world, oh, we don't care, we just enjoying life, and it's not all about basketball. It's bigger than basketball. But at this particular moment, they will be lying if they tell, if they would go on and say on any platform that they're not bothered by this situation, because both of these guys, at the end of the day, they actually do care about winning. They actually do care about the game of basketball. And so all eyes will be on them next season if they're together, to see how they're going to bounce back and recover from watching two of their former teams be in the NBA Finals and one of them win the championship.
I think that's really well said. And Zach, does this go to the idea of super teams? I mean, what is the big picture takeaway from the fact that these two great players left and the teams that they left behind wind up being in the championship?
Yeah, I don't read too much into it in that regard. I mean, it was very clear the Celtics were a team on the rise with or without Kyrie, and he left with that as a risk. And Durant, the guy can't win. So he joins Golden State and they win, and everyone cries and whines, oh, it's unfair. The NBA shouldn't have let this happen. There was a salary cap spike. They ruined the league. Mm-hmm. Then he leaves and we're like, well, why did he leave? He chose Kyrie Irving. He chose wrong. Like, he can't. He left, I think, to build his own thing. And so far, it has gone haywire. And we have to see what happens next.
I mean, look, if when he and Kyrie decided to go to Brooklyn when on that signing night, I remember it was the most we did a week of Get Up specials.
Oh yeah,
the week that year. If you had told me the Warriors are going to get back to the finals before Durant wins, what is it, one playoff series so far since then, and all that, I don't think I would have believed it in the moment. All right, we'll have much more time for this as we go. We also have a WNBA doubleheader coming your way tonight for the league's top teams and some of the biggest stars, including Diana Taurasi, as the Mercury take on Candace Parker and the defending champion Sky, 7 Eastern. And then last season's MVP is Jonquel Jones. She leads the Sun against the 2020 MVP, Asia Wilson, and the Aces. Great WNBA action coming your way tonight. All right, coming up, what would you give to be a fly on the wall at the SEC's meetings today? Saban, Fisher, center stage. We'll set the stage with Paul and Heather next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Amazing team.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is once again that time where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to that man, Dominique Foxworth, and whether he wants to or not, he's got to answer. Here we go, Neek. First off, let's look at the AFC East. We have the Bills. We all think they're the best team. Out of the other three, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, who's the next best team in that division?
I know what you want to hear, but I'm going to have to say it's the Dolphins. Assuming they can keep that defense playing at a high level without Brian Flores, I think adding McDaniel as a play caller and addressing the offensive line to some degree, but that man right there, Tyreek Hill, is the real big difference that they've made to that offense. So I think they're going to be the best contender to the Bills. I don't know if they'll knock off the Bills, but I think they make it to the playoffs, the wild card, and give the Bills a run in that division.
All right, no, I actually agree. Assuming by Dolphins you mean the Jets, then I thoroughly agree with your opinion.
Sorry,
next
buddy.
One. This one's a little more serious. Is Colin Kaepernick going to be on an NFL roster this season?
I don't think so. I mean, I want to be optimistic, and if he wants to play, I want him to be able to play. But I don't see what has changed between now and the last, what's it been, 5 years since he's been on a roster? I can't imagine that all of a sudden some team has the I guess, fortitude to put him on a team. And you have to imagine that it's going to take him some time to get back up to full game speed. And I'm not sure if he's not intended to be a starter that anybody wants to put that work in and take whatever backlash may come along with it. So I'm rooting for him, but I'm not optimistic given what we've seen in recent history.
Okay, and one more for you. I will get your take on, here we go, starts this week. Who wins the championship, Warriors or Celtics?
I got Golden State. I went back and forth a couple of times, but I think that the Celtics had to go through such a tough road, and they're dealing with a lot of injuries, not at full strength. I don't got them beating Golden State. I do think that Gary Payton II coming back at some point is going to matter a great deal because, I mean, the Celtics can't really handle the ball, and he's the best on-ball defender. So I'm looking forward to the series. It doesn't matter who I pick because it's basketball, so I can go ahead and go with the fun story and Steph Curry making it or winning the MVP and cementing himself as one of the greatest of all time.
Fair enough. And leave it to Neek to find a defensive player that he thinks winds up decides.
Oh, yeah.
All right, stay close
I
by.
Like
Come
defense.
Back to that in a little bit. Meanwhile, I want there's a huge deal today, all right? So the SEC spring meetings are getting underway this morning, and of course, all eyes are on those two. Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher. You remember 2 weeks ago, Saban made the headline saying that Texas A&M bought every player on their team, and Jimbo, his former assistant, did not take kindly to it. Here's a reminder of how that went.
It's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
All right, so we all remember we all remember that. And here we go live to Destin, Florida, where Paul looks spectacular, by the way, and Heather also looks spectacular, the two of you. But Heather, I will start with you. So we've all been waiting, like, you know, what would you give to be a fly on the wall when these two are in the same room? Well, today it's going to happen, right? What are the flies on the wall going to hear?
Well, first of all, Greg Sankey told me yesterday that he has turned the page on this. I asked him if he is going to say anything to these coaches in the room about not having public spats, and he said, that's not for me to broadcast. I'm told by a school spokesman that Jimbo Fisher will be here today. Sankey told me all coaches are going to be here for the mandatory meeting. Fisher will not be making any public comments today. But look, Greg Sankey said that he is ready to move on. We'll find out today if the coaches are ready to move on.
Well, that really is the question, Paul. Greg can be ready to move on. I certainly understand why he would want to. Do you have any sense of whether Jimbo is ready to move on or even close to that?
Well, he may not. Jimbo may be moving on, and Commissioner Sankey may, but we're not. There is a large gathering of media down here for one purpose, Greeny, and that's to see this show unfold in real time. And they will be sitting together in the same room. I am told by an SEC official it is alphabetical, so they'll have assigned seats. They will not be sitting next to each other, but it's almost impossible not to bump into each other. And for those watching around the country, these two used to be very close. Jimbo Fisher worked for Saban for many years. They maintained a relationship, at least on the surface, even though many deep down knew it was not very close. So I think it would be hard for Jimbo to remain quiet today, although I'm sure he's been told by the commissioner, keep your mouth shut.
Well, but Paul, again, for those around the country and for anyone who doesn't know, Paul is as connected through his radio show and everything else to what happens in the SEC as literally any person alive. Some might wonder, the coach gets called out like that, right? Nick Saban publicly calls out Jimbo Fisher. He has to respond in kind. You know these men much better than most other people do. Was that Jimbo standing up for his program? Or how much of that was real and how much of that was the show that a coach has to put on when he's been questioned like this?
Greeny, I think with Jimbo Fisher, it is real. He's a very proud guy. Both he and Nick Saban are from West Virginia, and they take things like that very seriously. I think Saban wants to move on. I think Saban will admit privately that he made a mistake. He said something that in context was accurate, but it sounded very badly. Jimbo Fisher, I don't think, wants to move on because his fan base is behind him. He thinks this is a big moment for him. He stood up to the biggest bully. And not only has he stood up to the bully, here, don't forget, last October, Jimbo Fisher beat Saban on a football field. He's the first assistant to ever do that. He called the shot a year ago at a touchdown club, so he's got a little gravitas going for him, and I don't think he wants to move on, but I think he'll follow the proper decorum today and tomorrow, but deep down, he likes this fight.
Quickly, two more things, Heather. One of them is there had been that conversation that I'd heard. Again, I've been traveling so much, but about the SEC possibly having a model where it creates its own playoff. Is that something we should be expecting to hear about this week?
Well, I asked Greg Sankey about that, and the first thing he said to me was, I never called it a playoff. I said, what is it? He said, well, it's about one of 47 models or so that we're talking about in regards to the future format. That is something they will absolutely talk about here. What is the SEC going to look like when Texas and Oklahoma eventually join? What will their divisions look like? Will they have divisions? That's something they could possibly vote on Friday. But as far as an actual SEC playoff, I have had people tell me privately there's no way Greg Sankey would do that, and there is a slim chance he would, though, and the only way people see that possible is if the 10 commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, who control the playoff, come up with a format that Sankey absolutely abhors, then he might say, okay, we're going to go do this. See you guys later.
Fair enough. And then one more quickly, Heather, do you agree with me that All America wants Paul to put his glasses back on? Do you want Paul to put his sunglasses back on?
I think Paul should not only put his sunglasses back on, I think he should be reporting from about 20 feet behind him. That would be very good television.
Paul, you look phenomenal. Both of you enjoy it down there. It's going to be fascinating. We'll watch for your coverage all day long, and we'll check in again tomorrow for sure. In the meantime, we've also got hockey. Could more be going on? We got game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Rangers, Lightning. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern from Madison Square Garden. Excuse me, that is tomorrow night when that series begins, of course, here on ESPN. Okay, coming up, is Steph Curry about to meet his match in the finals? Why one member of our crew thinks Marcus Smart could be the Steph stopper? That's next.